Howdy all, this is Shane. Welcome to the In the Blues Tone podcast. It's been quite some time since I've made one of these, so apologies on not having any new content going up onto the podcast in recent times. I haven't had a chance to really do too much of this sort of stuff recently due to an increase in pedals getting sent my way for demos, and it's really exciting. Actually, it's great. I've had maybe 30 or 40 pedals turn up in the last 3 weeks, so I've got lots to do. And I'm staging those uploads and releases over the next couple of months because there's just so many. And you may have noticed there's been loads of Joyo Iron Man series pedals going up. Those things are awesome and they're super small. If you like small pedals or you want to get a pedal that you can fit onto your board without really, you know, consuming a lot of space, they're definitely the way to go. The Joyo Iron Man series pedals are about one third smaller, I guess, than the Tone City pedals or the Movel pedals. And yeah, they're really, really small, but they're built like bricks. They absolutely feel strong and very sturdy in the hand, and all the pots and stuff feel great as well. And I wanted to just have a chat about Movel and Tone City and give people a little bit of an insight about what's going on, not only with those pedals being very similar to each other, but what's going on with the Tone Shop as well. Now, I've been a huge supporter and I guess one of the few ambassadors online for Tone City stuff. They're awesome. They're absolutely good. They're designed by a really, you know, well-known pedal guy in China called Jason, who's pretty much made some of the best pedals in China. So I had the Movel company approach me recently, and they sent me a box of their pedals as well, and I got them, and they looked very similar to the Tone City. So I looked into it, and I was told from a friend that basically Movel were around a lot longer than Tone City pedals, and they were the originals. So the guy who makes them has obviously left that company and started making his own pedals, which are, you know, basically exactly the same internally. I think the major difference is just the artwork, so it depends on what you like best. Movel have been awesome to deal with, like, you know, as in terms of what I do, having to order products now as well. I just have a huge trust in their company and the way they do business. So I'm 100% moving over to the Movel pedals. I wasn't going to do that. I had a tentative order placed with Tone City, but it ended up, I don't trust them. So I'm working with Movel now exclusively on my website. Anything that I've got left will be sold off at a little bit of a discount, so you can still pick them up. If you did miss one that you wanted in Tone City, for example, I can give you the exact same thing in Movel, except the artwork, like I said, is a little bit different. So yeah, they sound identical to each other. Anyone who's a big fan of Tone City stuff like I am, you're going to love the Movel pedals as well. And this was just something that came to my attention, and I thought I'd share a little bit of news and information about those pedals with you all. Now, hopefully the audio is all good. I'm using a Blue microphone today instead of my usual Rode one. My Rode is actually getting used for another project right now. So I've got my Blue Yeti microphone on my desk, and I hope this sounds okay. So the USB mic. I did notice that it automatically cuts some of the S words out of the sizzles. So it does kind of equalize that out on the fly. So hopefully it sounds okay. And if you have any comments about the audio quality on this one, please let me know. And if it's not as good or if it's better than normal, then yeah, I'd love to hear some feedback and I can, you know, work with whatever sounds best for everybody. Let's have a little bit of a chat now about the gear trap when it comes to overdrives and distortion pedals. I think a big thing that I've come to realize lately is the stuff that I already had on my pedal board is awesome. And the variances of me now going out and buying another overdrive pedal from another company is really not going to be worth my while. And when I realized this, a friend of mine who has fantastic chops, fantastic tone, he basically said to me, like, what overdrive pedal do you recommend? I said, you've already got two awesome ones. Like, what kind of sound are you looking for? And he just sort of said, oh, I don't know, I'm just looking for something maybe a little bit different. I said to him, look, your tone rocks. If you're going to buy another pedal, you'll probably end up just coming back to the ones you've already got. I said, if you're already comfortable playing those and you like the sound, don't get caught in the trap of buying all this other stuff just because you think it might be better. And like I said, I was listening to his tone and it was fantastic. He's a guy who bought my old deluxe reverb off me, and man, it absolutely sounded great. You know, his tone's fantastic. He's torn the chops, but I couldn't really recommend him another pedal. Like, the stuff that he had was doing the job. You know, I could say, yeah, go spend $350 on a Klon, and that will be different to what you've got, but whether you like it more or not is subjective. And, you know, I just felt like sometimes if you're around gear a lot, or you're looking out for the latest and greatest thing, there's no real reason to go spending huge bucks on stuff if you've already got a great sound. I think if you're keen on just getting, you know, like a modulation pedal or a delay pedal into your rig, if you don't already have one, that's a really cool thing to do, and it does add to your sound. But if you've already got a couple of great overdrive pedals, and, you know, even something like a Maxon overdrive pedal, killer. It's a great tone, and that's what I've gone back to. I've tested maybe 500 overdrives in the last few years, and, you know, I'm using a Maxon overdrive pedal because it's great, and a Klon, and a Paramount Emerson pedal as my rhythm tones occasionally. But yeah, I can't stress enough that I feel like a lot of people, including myself for a long, long time, were always looking for something else to make our sound better when, you know, we already had great tone to start with. And it's a huge trap, especially with overdrive pedals. I find that the other types of pedals, like the modulation and delays and time-based effects, all that kind of stuff, it's not as bad for, you know, a blues player. You can, you know, incorporate that stuff into your playing, but there's no doubt about it that the overdrive trap is huge. There's so much out there. If you are going to buy something, you know what, go buy a Klon that's a quarter of the price, because odds are you'll end up just using what you've got, and the difference is so minimal. All right, I was thinking about maybe getting some regular co-hosts with the In the Blues Tone podcast. I think it might be fun to, you know, have a few people from the forum sort of be on the podcast. We can record it live, come up with some discussion and different points of view, and involve some people, yeah, from my intheblues.net forum. I think that would be a lot of fun. We seem to be getting a fair bit of traffic on there now, and it might be cool to maybe bring some of those personalities onto the podcast on a semi-regular basis, maybe, you know, once or twice a month, something like that. It doesn't have to be every week, and maybe just discuss about what's going on the forum in the music industry, you know, on their part of the, on their side of the world as well, or wherever they may live. So yeah, if you're interested in being a co-host or being a part of the In the Blues Tone podcast, we can maybe do a live show and, you know, get some discussion going on as well. If you have any suggestions, of course, for people that you would like to hear on the podcast, you can also let me know as well. Speaking of the In the Blues forum, I recently posted in the other pedals section of, no, it wasn't. It was in the best pedal 4 section, and I posted a link to cheaperpedals.com, which was the top 10 reasons boutique pedals are overrated. And I thought, you know, this was, I had mixed reactions to this post. I absolutely believe a lot of it through experience, but I also, you know, I see it as an advert for their website as well. But on the most part, a lot of what they put in this post is very, very accurate, actually. So I'm going to go down the list here and read out some of it. So their number one point was, where's the value, with a question mark. So their number one was, where's the value? Off the bat, boutique pedals are ridiculously expensive, ranging from $200 to $400. The money used to buy one of them can get you an excellent beginner guitar, you know, in comparison, of course. Two of them will buy you an amp, three of them will buy you a professional grade electric guitar. If someone on the street asked you to pay a couple of $100 for a small painted metallic box with a bunch of transistors inside, you'd give him a funny look and walk off a little bit faster. So, you know, that's true. I think a lot of what makes pedals popular, and this doesn't go for all of them because some of the popular ones don't look great, but what makes most of these boutique pedals popular is their artwork and paint design. People will say, oh yeah, they're handmade, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I've had PCB pedals that have lasted over 5 or 6 years and they still go strong. So I absolutely believe that. Where's the value? That doesn't hit home on like every pedal I've tried, because there's certain pedals that are just so much better than their cheaper counterparts. So on to their second point, which was low tech, high prices, where they basically say how far like computers and mobile phones have come over the years, but we're still buying, you know, 40-year-old technology or more when it comes to pedals. Look, that's somewhat true, but at the same time, there's a reason that a lot of this stuff is still analog, which he didn't go into that. Low tech, high prices. There's a reason a lot of that stuff is low tech. Guitar players, pretty stupid when it comes to a lot of stuff. So they'll just go out and buy old technology over new stuff. They'll even spend way more money on the old Klon, for example, which is getting pretty old in comparison to just going and buying, you know, the new Klon. Just that's just the way it is. People will still want to spend $1,000 on a overdrive pedal when they can get the brand new one from the same guy, Flanagan, who makes the Klon. You know, buy the new red one for a few hundred dollars versus buying the old one for a couple of grand. That doesn't make sense. But anyway, all right, over to point number three, which is lack of innovation. He basically says that pedal technology and innovation hasn't changed much over the last 50 years, and it's very rare that he'll or anyone will see a new pedal come out on the market. And I absolutely agree with that. There's so many companies and guys making hand-wired versions of stuff that was out, you know, 40 years ago, that they've just basically taken the design, not really added anything to it. They've just taken that design and repackaged it in a box that's painted nicely. There's thousands of examples of this out there, but I absolutely don't think that, you know, pedal companies are doing themselves a lot of justice just by rehashing stuff. It's maybe a sign that they don't have any creative talents, or maybe it's just a sign of the times where, you know, guitarists don't want anything else. They're still happy using the same effects that were out back in the day. It's a real shame. So part four takes a look at the marketing side of the industry and where it's at right now. And I'm just going to read you the last line because, or the last part of the paragraph here, because I think this pretty much sums all the marketing up. It says, let's fast forward to today. Let's take the old designs, copy them, mod it, give it a really cool paint job, and call it a boutique pedal. We can also charge an extra couple of $100 for it. And then it says, can you imagine this happening in any other industry like cars or PCs or personal computers? Imagine buying, you know, the latest Pentium one that runs at 200 megahertz and being charged $2,000 for it. That's pretty much what they're saying. Point five is scarcity, and it basically says when an item is scarce on the market, a lot of people will pay top dollar for it. And the example used for this is the Klon. People that spend that amount of money, this is, I put this in quotes, he says, they are now going for over $1,000 on eBay, proof that some people are too dumb and rich for their own good. On the other hand, mass producers are trying to sell their products to as many people as possible, which drives down costs in manufacturing and margins. So, you know, if you're going to spend $1,000 on a pedal, seriously, save your money. Go buy something else, or just put in your savings. Now, point seven is that missing something. It writes, as guitar players, we're never quite satisfied. And in brackets, actually, this is part of the human condition. We are forever trying to scratch a tone itch that never goes away. Boutique pedals are convenient brick-sized pieces of hope that we're plugging into anytime we buy one. I agree with that. Anytime you think your tone could be better, you want the best pedal you can find for what you can afford, or you spend more than you can afford and buy something that's overpriced and extremely expensive, hoping that it fixes all your tone issues. And there's no one pedal that out there that can do all of that for you. And a lot of the time, it comes down to playing. You know, I once heard a great quote from my friend Rick, who said, practice fixes most tone issues. Judging a book by its cover is point number eight. And it's basically just saying that looking at boutique pedals on your pedal board makes you feel a lot better, and also is more visually appealing, whether or not it's actually going to sound any better. It also says that if you see a board full of, you know, Boss pedals, for example, does that look anywhere near as good as having a mix of boutique pedals from all over the place? No, it doesn't. I mean, it looks uniform, and if you like the look of that, that's fine. But I think he's trying to get at that, you know, sometimes you fall in love with the look of these things. And I absolutely believe the design of these pedals and the paint jobs, all that kind of stuff, is more so part of the hook when it comes to these pedals, more so than, you know, the tonal upgrade you're going to be getting. Number 9 says, expensive does not mean good. I'm not even going to read this out. Basically, he's saying that it's assumed that if you spend X amount of dollars more on a pedal that's a boutique pedal, you're going to get a hell of a lot of a better tone. You know, I've tested hundreds and hundreds of boutique pedals, and some of them are great, but some of them aren't. You know, I've played clone copies that kill way more expensive boutique clone copies. There's no doubt about that. And there's a million examples, and one of the ones that he says is the Baiyang OD8, which is the X-Drive. I'm a huge fan of that. It's a great pedal for the price. And he says, I challenge anyone to take one of these pedals and test it next to a boutique Overdrive. Now, I don't know if the Maxon Overdrive Pro is considered a boutique pedal. I would consider it one, but some people might not. I'd say that that has a better tone than the Baiyang OD8. I've ran them side by side as well. Now, the problem with me saying that is that what I think sounds better to somebody might not be what they like more. I think the Baiyang X-Drive wipes the floor with just about every tube screamer I've ever tried, except for the Maxon Overdrive Pro. So if you haven't had hundreds of pedals to compare to over the years, I absolutely agree. The Baiyang OD8 is as good as it's going to get, or the Biang, I think it's pronounced. So apologies for those who listen that know how to pronounce the Chinese words a lot more better than I do. But yeah, you know, that's as good as you're going to get for that price. For $80, you're getting a kick-ass pedal. Yeah, sure, you could spend $200 and get something that looks a little cooler, or, you know, that's it. That's the only advantage. They're reliable. They sound great. What more do you want? And point 10 is, let's be unique. Okay, boutique. So he's saying that an unfortunate consequence of being a consumer-based society is we often define our identity from our belongings. No one wants to be part of the herd. So he, you know, he's saying again that everyone who just, if you go out and you just buy a whole lot of Boss pedals, or I'm just using that as an example, it's nowhere near as cool as the guy with, you know, boutique pedals coming out of everywhere. It isn't as appealing, yet the tones wouldn't be any different or very, very similar anyway, depending on what kinds of pedals you're buying. So yeah, look, I think this top 10 list has room for improvement, but you know, it's great. It was written in 2013. I had no idea. I hadn't seen this until now, and I've posted it on intheblues.net, so you can get over there and leave your comments as well and let me know what you think of that, as well as what you can also read what other people are saying about it as well. It's going to be a good thread. It's definitely going to be a good thread. I'd encourage anyone who's into this sort of stuff to head over to intheblues.net's forum and yeah, join in the discussion. Like I said, if you want to be part of the Tone Podcast at any time, just let me know and we'll sort that out. So that's it for today's episode of the In the Blues Tone Podcast. Don't forget, you can check out intheblues.com.au. It's my shop online. It's going to have all the new Movell products up very, very soon. I'm a little tired today, so excuse me if I'm stumbling over my words. I've had a few late nights and, not fun nights, just late nights. So I apologize if I sound a little husky or a little fatigued. That's why. And yeah, I'd love to see you over at the forum at intheblues.net. Like I said, raise your hand if you want to be on a podcast or help out with this. We can throw some ideas around and share it with everyone. That'll be awesome. So it's a growing community, and if you know any friends or family that are into gear and they like, you know, the community around the In the Blues scene, then they're definitely going to dig it. So please share it around. We'd love to have more people on there. And thanks again for listening. And don't forget, if you're on iTunes right now listening to this, you can head over to my other website, aguitarpedaldemos.com. Thanks again for listening. My name's Shane. I'll catch you all very, very soon. I take you out with one of my new songs that I'm working on. It's a little blues track. I hope you like it. The way you act is so unkind. The way that you talk.
your way.